talking about I'll be releasing my last 10 songs if you played at any wedding. Haven't been to a wedding for a little while, but when I used to blow the doors off places. Literally blows the doors off. So let's bring in our next guest, Dave McCarthy, Sirius XM NHL host. And Dave McCarthy, your thought is you have your iPad in your hand, unlimited access to any song. What is the one song you must play towards the end of the night to make sure you just drop a musical grenade on the dance floor?
A musical grenade. I'm just trying to picture you dropping, like getting down on the dance floor, strutty. Oh, yeah. That's quite a sight, I'm sure. Out for a peek, as it were. You can tell, see, being a veteran right now in the radio game, I'm stalling for time as I look at my own playlist to refresh my memory. I mean, honestly, you can't go wrong with Cotton Eye Joe. I know it's a little bit cliched. Geez. And, that's the reaction I get. But honestly, when it comes on, you're up out your seat, are you not? Okay? Right? You're not disputing it. Secondly, I don't mind a foreign language song every now and again. Despacito. It's very, very good. And I wasn't at a wedding, but we got a few folks together a weekend or so ago to celebrate my buddy's sister's birthday, and we threw on the Bluetooth, got the phone out, threw on Despacito, we got after it. So those would be my two.
All good songs. You know, there's no wrong answers. It's just what you like, right? But it's a fun conversation. I'll be releasing my musical grenade playlist Friday, just for anyone who's tuned in and wants to hear it. Now, McCarthy, you know, the reports come out, Greg Wyshynski saying that the NHL has kind of put a date as the end of this month as to, you know, whether or not they will have NHLers at the Olympics. Two schedules are existing right now. Teams are trying to, you know, figure out what's going to be the right one. In your opinion, you know, is it likely that they end up going? And if not, what is the holdup?
Well, I think at this point it is more likely than not. Like, they were unable to secure a new media rights deal with the IOC, I guess it would have been maybe a couple of weeks or so ago now, and that was not ideal. Like, essentially, at the end of the day, the NHL wants to get some more value out of this deal than just having the IOC say, oh, well, you get to send your players out to the Olympics, and, you know, all the eyes of the world are on your players, and then you get to expose your game. Yeah, okay, that's nice, but, like, it's difficult to monetize that, right? And it's difficult to correlate the value of the investment in terms of the ROI, the return on that investment. What they'd like is to have some ability to disseminate some content on social media and on their channels, and to have some partnership in the content. I think that is one, a bit of a holdup, and two, most certainly they want to get the insurance situation settled so that when players go over there and, you know, heaven forbid if somebody should get hurt, that's all settled. Once that's all in place, you know, I think they're going to go over there ultimately at the end of the day. They put it this way. They've sent a number of teams over to China in recent times. Like, Boston's gone over there, I forget who they played, but they played a few exhibition games to expose that market to their product. Now would be a good time in the Olympics to expose their players to that product. And it goes kind of back to, oh, you get to put your players in front. But I think, you know, if you're going to go over there and play preseason games, but then not go to the Olympics, you know, like, what's the point of doing the preseason games? So I think you got to be all in for everything, and in this case, to me, it kind of makes sense for them to go.
Carter Hart signs a pretty big extension. Tough season for him last year. What gives him the bounce back? Is it his own game? Is it improved defense with Ellis and Ritsalainen? Is it just luck? Like, what do you see? Because maybe the contract brought him down. I'm not sure. What do you think has happened for him to get back to what was, you know, much different goalie 2 years ago than last year?
Yeah. Well, I'll put it this way. I think that was a pretty good contract that both he and the Flyers signed. One, he gets the money in the short term, and then two, he gets to be in a position where the term is only 3 years, bounce back, and then he's still going to be a young guy by the time his next contract rolls around. And I'm still willing to place my bet on Carter Hart. The guy works like no other. He is as committed as they come. From what I understand, at times, too committed. Like, he's got so many things going on to try to maximize every area of his play, from his training to his goalie coach to working on the psychological aspect of the game, the superstitions, very superstitious guy. And when that's all going, you know, it can be good, but when it stuff starts to go sideways, some of the over preparation, I think, at times can maybe work against you. And I was talking to somebody today on my show, Kevin Woodley, who I think is on your show from time to time as well. Mm-hmm. He understands goaltending more so than I do. And what he said was he noticed that it almost looked like they were trying to change his style a little bit. When he came into the league, Carter Hart was very Carey Price-ish in terms of his efficiency and movement. And at times last year, it looked like he got to the point where he was trying to be a little bit more aggressive and go after shooters. And I think Carter at his best and Carey at his best are when they're just in a sound position, and it looks like they're sitting in a rocking chair in the crease, and they barely have to move. So if you can get back to that, I'm a big believer in finding what makes a guy good, what his skill set is, and then working to maximize it. Don't worry about what other guys are doing who may be having, quote, more success. What does this guy do that makes him really good? And figure that out and work toward that. And to me, I think that Carter's an efficient goalie in terms of his movement. He shouldn't be an aggressive Mike Smith type of goalie where he's going after shooters. I don't think that necessarily satisfies his skill set. I mean, it's the same thing Strutty is. I don't understand the difference for it. When a guy wins a golf tournament, then you turn around 2 weeks later and says, yeah, well, I'm going to reinvent my swing. Well, why? You just won.
Right.
Why do you need to change that? And then that's kind of the way I see it with Carter, too.
Rebuild it. Rebuild the swing. Joined by Dave McCarthy, SiriusXM NHL host, going around the NHL. Dave, coaching staff is a name for the Olympics. Let's assume they go. You know, is it unfair for fans and media alike to criticize or to claim that it is easy to build the Team Canada roster because there's so much depth?
No, I don't think. I'm trying to answer this properly here. I do not think that is a fair criticism, which is what I'm trying to say. You think it's so easy? It's not just opening the door and letting these guys go out. A large part of a coach's job on any team is to clearly define roles, identify who can excel in those roles, and then convince those individuals to fill those roles for you. That's difficult to do at the best of times on your club team. But in an Olympics where you're asking a lot of guys that are used to playing 23 minutes a night to all of a sudden, and shooting it in the net and being on SportsCenter, being a highlight reel guy, to all of a sudden giving me 12 minutes where I want you to be a pain in the butt of the other team's best player, worry about your own end, chip it out, and get the heck off the ice. That's a difficult ask for a lot of guys. And what the coach's job is, John Cooper's job will be in his staff, is to convince those guys that, look, for the betterment of the team, this is what I need out of you today. And to get them to buy in. And, you know, say what you will about Mike Babcock, but he did a masterful job in 2010 and 2014 of outlining a system, finding the pieces to play that system and getting them all to buy in. And they were absolutely clinical, especially in 2014. So John Cooper, one of his best assets is as that type of a salesman, a guy who's able to manage personalities and get them to buy in. Look, Tyler Johnson was a top six guy for a long time in Tampa Bay. He got him to buy in, to play in a different role and to excel in it. Ditto for Yanni Gourde, and they had success because of it. And that'll, I think, be John Cooper's job once again. It's not easy to manage that many type A elite-level personalities, but it's going to be John Cooper's job. It's not going to be easy, but I think he's up to the task.
just breaking moments ago, the Chicago Blackhawks letting everybody know that legend, and I'm using that word, literally a legend of both their team, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the NHL, Tony Esposito, passed away after a very brief battle with pancreatic cancer. When I played for the Blackhawks, I saw him a couple times. I don't want to make it think like we were friends, but when you go back and look at what he did, and you know, came out from Montreal, then just turned that team around, the Blackhawks, like overnight, played a ton of games, you know, one of the top 10 all-time in wins, I think, you know, five-time all-star, won the Vezina, I think at least two times off, just all off the top of my head, but pretty amazing, like just a complete legend, that guy. And you know, do you have any memories of him, or just his kind of his legacy of being such a Iron Man playing in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he was a little bit before my time, but you know, hearing what he was all about, and the brothers Esposito, him and Phil, and to have two brothers that both got to the NHL and had the level of success that they did in the era that they did, really was a remarkable thing. And as you said, Tony was a big part of those teams for a lot of years and was a great goalie in that league. So that's really disappointing and sad news to hear. I didn't know that, and like I say, I certainly can't sit here and say that I remember him playing at all. I'm a little young for that, but you know, just a legend of the game, and you know, all of these guys. That's what makes hockey so special to me, Strutty, is that there's such a long history in the game where when you get to come around some of the older guys that played, you know, years ago. I remember getting a chance to speak with Frank Mihaljevic a couple of years ago at a golf tournament. I'm just standing there thinking, man, I'm talking to a guy right now that my dad grew up watching and idolizing, you know, and he's still a big part of the fabric of the game and helped lead the game to where it is. And, you know, Tony was a big part of that. So that to me is what makes hockey so special. And anytime you hear news like that, it's a sad day.
Yeah, it really is. And he, you know, again, you know, those Blackhawks had some legends, and they were floating around in there. And I remember Keith Magnuson, you know, I don't know if everyone remembers him. He unfortunately passed away, but the guys would, Stan the older Makita, guys would talk about him. Stan Mikita and Keith Magnuson, though, he was just a passionate guy, right? And the older guys would always tell stories how, you know, he wasn't a great fighter, but he was tough, but he, you know, and he'd fight someone out of his weight class and he'd get, you know, beat up in the first period. And so they'd come in after and, you know, he'd be getting taped up or whatever it was needed to be done to feel better. And then, you know, the next period he'd go out there, he'd be asking the same guy, he'd be like, gotta give me a chance. Gotta give me a chance to redeem myself. The guy's like, what are you talking about? But that was just Keith Magnuson. Like, he was literally a legend. And, you know, I knew of him prior to my arrival in Chicago, but I didn't realize, like, what he was all about. So, you know, I think for people that maybe didn't know Tony, you know, his legend as much, he's top 10 in games played in almost 900 games. So I'm sure they're all going to be pouring out the tributes, guys that we're talking about. So take an extra second and take a look at it and get through it. So, yeah. McCarthy, thanks a lot, buddy. I'm not sure about your wedding song choices, but we'll give you another chance maybe next week.
Okay, well, I'll eagerly await the unveiling of your list, and I will very closely critique it. You better be putting good tunes on that list, Strutty. It's all I can say.
Oh, I got it. I'm calling it the musical grenade. That's going to drop it on the weddings. That's what we got for it. So it'll be good to go, buddy. Thanks for that, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Strutty.